And turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter number 2. Of course, as you recall, if you were here last week, we started in talking about being revived, actually before our revival actually kicks off. And it is possible, because we talked about it is the power of one. You have the ability to be revived by getting a hold of God, a sign from what anybody else does to you or with you. Amen. You can be revived. Jonah, chapter number 2. Jonah chapter number 2. We covered all of chapter 1 last Sunday morning and Sunday night, and so today we're going to endeavor to cover chapter number 2, and then next Sunday endeavor to cover chapter number 3. Amen. Everybody at Jonah chapter number 2, say amen. All right, and we're going to read that responsively. That means I'll read the odd verses, and you read the even verses with me. All right, and I'm starting in Jonah chapter 2, verse number 1. You join in on the even verses. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou bought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Amen. Well, God is definitely doing a work in Jonah's life. It's a process of getting him to the place where he needs to be. But likewise, it is a process in getting us to the place that we need to be as well. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. And God is willing to work with us as long as we're willing to be worked with. Amen. And again, coming up to revival, we don't want to wait until revival and think that a man's going to revive us. Pastor Bennett can't revive you. I cannot revive you. Only God Almighty can revive you from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But to be revived, you've got to have had life already. And that means you must have been born again. And then once you're born again, you can be revived by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And so I'm trusting that God's going to work in your life today and work in my life today to help us not to just get revived, but to stay revived. Because, friend, I'll tell you, it's a moment-by-moment thing. You revive one moment, and next minute you're not. Amen. Like a car that needs to be jump-started. One time you start it up, as soon as you turn it off, guess what? You got to jump it again. Amen. And that's the way our lives are when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a constant refilling and a constant reviving from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together as we look at the life of Jonah. Lord, he's a picture of a New Testament Christian, I believe, and much of what happens in his life happens to us on a spiritual basis and sometimes on the physical basis as well, when we don't do what you would have us to do. Help us today, Lord Jesus, to see what it is that you would have us to do by way of revival, or whether it's repenting of sin or whatever it may be. Help us to do our best to be in fellowship with you and obedience to your word. Lord, if there's one man, boy, woman, boy or girl here today without Jesus Christ, help them to know they must be born again before they can ever think about being revived. But there is mercy in thee. And Lord, you will revive and you will save any soul that calls upon you, just like Jonah. Father, help us to see our need today, whether it's for revival or whether it's to be born again. I pray that we'll do what needs to be done to please you. Thank you for loving us, blessing the children's ministry, bless the message and the song that we'll be saying here in moments. And Lord, bless and open up our hearts that we may not just hear, but obey what we hear. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Ms. Dawson has a special. Grace is truly amazing. And if you don't believe that, just look at your own life and your own circumstances and you'll recognize that His grace is truly amazing. Amen. How could He save a wretch like me? You say, preacher, I don't know how He could save a wretch like you either. Amen. But watch it, buddy. He saved you too. Amen. And you weren't such a bargain either. But we praise God for his mercy and praise God for his grace. It truly is amazing. Amen. Well, we're looking at Jonah. Jonah is considered a minor prophet. You say, preacher, does that mean his message is less important than Isaiah, who was a major prophet? No, minor prophet just means that his message was shorter than a major prophet. Amen. It's not any lesser in its content and in its authority. Amen. It's just lesser in its length. Amen. So his prophecy is only four books long, whereas Isaiah's is 66. And so Isaiah will be considered a major prophet in its length. Jonah is a minor prophet in its length. Amen. The message is still the same. I've got to do what God has called me to do. So he's a minor prophet, and he's writing here about the account of being told by God to go to this place called Nineveh. Nineveh is a place where Assyria was at, and they were one of the enemies of not just Israel, but a lot of other people. And it would be good for Jonah if they were dead. Amen. Ever felt like that? It would be good for somebody to be dead in your life. Amen. I've had that thought on occasion or two. Amen. If these folks weren't here, man, life would be like this. Amen. But that's not my place. That's God's place. Amen. And so Jonah's job then is to give out the gospel and to see these people get saved and to get right with God. Jonah obviously must have been right with God when he got the message. But then Jonah does the unthinkable. So what is that? He does what you and I did. Rebel. God tells us to do something, we say no. I mean, y'all know those little children? Like you say, here you go, little Johnny, can I have that? And they say, no. And you think, okay, come on, Johnny, give it to me. And they go, no. I remember it was in Belgium, this little girl, and she would always do that to me. I come over to her, I said, hey, how you doing? She'd say, nope. And I thought, whoa, what's that all about? Hey, man, you got something behind your back? Nope. And every time I come around, she'd say, nope. I just stopped going around telling. I just say, hi, worship you from afar. Amen. You doing all right? Amen. But certain children are like that. They say, can I have the little truck, Johnny? No, mine. Can I have the Dow, Sally? No, mine. Jonah, in essence, has been told to go to Nineveh. And in essence, he says, no, mine. I'm not going. I know this is my life and I know you're God, but I'm not going. Imagine us talking to God like that. I would never say anything like that to God, preacher. But you say it with your life oftentimes, and I say it with my life. And I say it with my feet. And I say it with my hands. No, preacher, say it ain't so. Yes, it's so. So Jonah really is a lot like a New Testament Christian. God gives a command, and a Christian has the power to rebel against it. The title of the message, we called it, is The Power of One. You have the power to be revived or allow yourself to be revived, and you have the power to say no. The power of one. By the way, it only takes one person to get revived to set a church on fire. Yes, sir. Can I get an amen? Amen. It only takes one church to get a world on fire. It only takes one nation to get a world evangelized. All it takes is one. And so the power of one is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Revival. Revival meetings are going to be held at the end of the month. Now, I do pray that we don't hold revival, but we'll give it up. Amen. We don't want to hold revival. We say we're having a revival meeting, but the goal is to be revived before that actually happens. Amen. And so what is revive? Revive means a restoring back to life or consciousness. And it is for those with life that seems to be going or gone away. And that means then revival is a restoration to use or activity after a period of inactivity or non-use. That is exactly what's happening to Jonah. Jonah is going to have a period of inactivity in his life. Amen. And so I gave you several things here from chapter number one. And go back to chapter one with me. We saw the power of one to rebel. By the way, when we rebel against God, we are in need of revival. Can I get an amen? Amen. When you and I say no to God, we need a revival. When a child says no to their parent, they're in need of discipline. Can I get an amen? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The Bible says that if I'm a parent, I'm going to discipline my child. If I don't discipline my child, then I don't love my child. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know it's not popular today because, you know, we got CPS. We got all the authorities who may come into our houses and take our kids. But I'd rather have a disciplined kid than a rotten kid. I'd rather have a disciplined kid than an ungodly kid. I'd rather have a disciplined kid that I try to lovingly correct them and chasten them and encourage them by the word of God than to let the world and their philosophy have his head, have his heart, have his hands. Amen. We got a bunch of sociopaths and psychotic people out there because somebody didn't take time to discipline them. Somebody didn't take time to tell them, no, Johnny, you can't have that. No, Sally, you cannot have that. No, Billy, you cannot do that. No, it's not right to punch people in the nose. No, it's not polite to talk that way. Hey, no, it's not right to do this. And so they raised up themselves to say, well, my mama didn't correct me, so neither can you. Well, we'll just put you in the penitentiary and get you abused. Amen. And that's not the answer either. What is the answer? Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way that he should go. That's the answer. And so we have the ability or the power, if you would, to rebel against Almighty God. Can you imagine God putting that power in puny hands and puny bodies like us? We can't make a flower. We can't make a bee. We can't make the wind blow. We can't make a storm. We can make a mess. We're good at making messes. We can't make dirt. We can't make a rock. The Bible says you can't even make your hair grow. I know, I've tried. Amen. We can't do any of those things. And God put within our power the ability to say no to him. And call it a free will. And you and I have a free will. And we can rebel against Almighty God. The creator of the universe. The one who flung the stars out in space and told them to stay there. The one who keeps our planets orbiting around. The one who makes sure that Earth is right where it needs to be so we don't freeze and we don't burn up. The one who cast them all out there in space and called them by name. The one who made the angels. The one who made it all. He gave you and I the ability to say no to him. Now, if I'm going to make somebody, I'm going to make some robots or something. Somebody going to like me. Somebody going to do something for me. But then they would be just that, robots. God wants us to serve him because we love him. He wants us to serve him because he saved us. He wants us to serve him because he's God. He is God. Now, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. It's going to happen sooner or later. You best bow now because if you bow later, it's too late. Amen and amen. So for no other reason, I serve him because he's God, but then he loved me enough to save me in spite of myself. And he loved you enough to save you in spite of yourself. That's God. And he's given us the ability to say no. And unfortunately, we say it quite often, don't we? We say no to God more than we say it to our spouses. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't know. I got to live with them. You got to live with God, too. You got to live with a conscience as well. You got to live with that on your heart and your mind. But we say no to God more than our spouses. We say no to God more than our parents. Amen. We say no to God more than our children. If you think about how many times you said no to God. And that's why Jonah is such a good picture of a New Testament Christian. You know what? Jonah is going to find that he has the power to rebel. But he's also got the power to repent, just like you and I. You know, you can have a child that does wrong, and I mean, they can stomp out of your face. Nah, I don't like you. You make me do this. And all the time, and this. And they can rebel and rant and rave, but they have the same power to come back and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And what do? You hug them up and you embrace them after you discipline them in love. And you say, praise God for you. God does the same thing. God says, I've given you the power to rebel, but I've also given you the power to repent. And you can come back. You can do what I've asked you to do. And that's where we find Jonah in chapter number 2. He has the power to rebel in chapter 1. We saw Jonah rebel by running from God in verses 1 and 2. We saw that he thought his reasoning was good in verse 2 because these people were wicked. We saw in verse number 3, he brought ruin to the other guys by getting them in danger on the ship. And then we saw Jonah resting on his own guidance. He was at sleep thinking everything was fine because his reasoning was good and it was sound, but it wasn't. Then Jonah was revealed as guilty in verses 6 through 17. And we saw how they got his attention. And when they got Jonah's attention, Jonah said the unthinkable. He said, I'm a Jew and I fear God and I'm running from God and it's all my fault. And if you just take me up and throw me into the sea will be calm and cool. And they said, well, fine, but we're not going to do that. Let's try and get you back to shore. And they said they tried to row harder and they couldn't. They couldn't bring themselves to the place to kill a man. You say, how are they going to kill him? Drowning. Well, he didn't want to drown. If you jump off the side of a boat in the middle of the ocean, what are you asking for? You asking for Jaws. Yeah. Amen. You asking for killer whale. You asking for something. You're not asking for help. You're asking for trouble. Yeah. Amen. And so he does that. And at the end of verse number 1, it says in verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Can you imagine? The minute they take Jonah up and say, all right, guys, heave, ho. And the minute splash happens, the sea ceased from her raging. Like Jesus, when he woke up and said, peace, be still. And it said, it was calm. As soon as Jonah hit the ground, it was calm. It doesn't even say that Jonah fought the water. He must have sunk like a rock. Can you imagine the fear that came on those mariners? This man said that we throw him in. We'll be out of danger. We threw him in. Not only are we out of danger, it's calm. And notice the natural reaction to something like that. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Meanwhile, they're praising God and making vows to God. Verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. So Jonah thought he was going to commit suicide, but God says, you're not going to get off that easy. By the way, I mentioned this last week. When you think you're going to run from God and rebel, you're not going to get off that easy. You're not going to get off that easy. If you truly belong to God, he's going to get you. And he's going to get you to do what he would have you to do, one way or another. Hopefully, it's by your submissive will that you say, God, I was wrong. I made a bad decision. Let me do what you have called me to do. If you're spiritual, that's what you will do. Said he prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Say, preacher, no one could live in the belly of a whale 3 days and 3 nights. Have you tried it? If you've not tried it, don't knock it. By the way, a commentary said this, ignorant people have said that a whale could not swallow a man, but a giant sperm whale that certainly could have swallowed a man is exhibited in the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., captured off Knights Key, Florida in 1912. This whale is 45 feet long, has a mouth 38 inches wide, and weighs 30,000 pounds. A fish in its stomach at the time it was captured weighed about 1,500 pounds. It goes on to say numerous stories of men being swallowed alive by whales and surviving the ordeal have been validated. In February of 1891, the crew of the whaling ship Star of the East sighted a large sperm whale off the Falkland Islands. They harpooned the whale, and in its death throes, it swallowed a man named James Bartley. A day and a half later, his shipmates, who thought he had drowned, found him unconscious in the whale's belly. Bartlett lived to tell about it, and his story was published in the newspapers. Describing his sensations as he slid into the innermost part of the whale, he said he could breathe easily, but the heat was unbearable. His whole appearance was changed by the ordeal, for his neck, face, and hands, which had been exposed to the whale's gastric juices and acids, were permanently bleached to a vivid whiteness. This story gives us an idea of what Jonah experienced when he was in prison in the great fish. By the way, Jesus actually compares himself to Jonah. He says, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be. Matthew 12:40. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Some believe that Jonah actually probably died and God raised him back to life, just like Jesus. Now, I don't know the truth and the validity of that. I can believe he probably passed out. But some believe if Jesus was going to liken his death, burial, and resurrection to Jonah, then Jonah possibly could have died. Don't know. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can God raise a dead person back up? Yes, he can. Same way he can swallow him up by a whale. So God is able. So Jonah now is in the belly of the whale as we start chapter number two. And he's got the power to repent. I asked you last Sunday, what did God have you at? Or where did God have you at? Or what part of the belly were you in? Or what has God told you to do? And you said no, and God has swallowed you up in a situation. And you're in that situation because he said, look, I want you to do this. And you said no. And God said, okay, I've got some situations here that's going to engulf you. It's going to enclose you. It's going to wrap around you. It's going to submerge you. It's going to get you enclosed totally and completely where you have no other recourse but to call on me. It's amazing what we do when we get into a tight spot. Amazing what we'll do when a situation happens that is out of our control and it is our own fault that got us there. And if you find yourself in that situation, God wants to revive you and he wants to revive me. Why? If we're rebelling against him, we cannot be revived until we stop rebelling and start repenting. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we find Jonah here with the power to repent. Chapter number two. By the way, Jonah says here in verse number one of chapter number two, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Let's notice the power of one to repent. The power of one to repent. Jonah's repentance started with prayer. When times get tough is when we seem to pray the most. Now, I want you to keep in mind something. We've got this pinned down. Jonah did not write this whilst he was in the belly of the whale. Y'all understand that, right? I don't think he had a writing pen in the belly. I don't think he had any parchment to write upon. And I don't think he could see what he was writing. So Jonah is writing this after the fact. And he's, as a prophet of God, he's pinning it down so that all can see what happened to his life. Pretty bold of a prophet, huh, to write down his rebellion. And then to write down his repentance. You know, if it were you and I writing down, we'd leave out the bad stuff and make it sound good, wouldn't we? Not Jonah. Jonah's giving you the good, bad, and ugly. So we find Jonah's repentance started with prayer. So this was written afterwards. Solomon's encouragement comes to play here. I think of Chronicles where Solomon said, you know, Lord, if the heavens be stayed and if the crops aren't blooming and we're not getting rain and you're not doing what you're doing because we're in sin. He said, if we doing all these things and we go out to battle and get beat and we do so many of these things and it seems like you're not with us, what should we do? And God came back and said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Let me read it to you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Notice this. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Will heal their land. For New Testament Christians, 1 John 1:9 comes into play. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let me ask you a question. If you're in the belly of a well, what is your first line that you will go to? Is it prayer? Is it your own wisdom on how to get out? Stick the belly in the side of the belly so maybe he'll regurgitate you? What would you do first of all? Jonah prayed. Ask yourself this. What situation do you find yourself in now? And how often do you pray about it? How often do you pray? And I'm not talking about pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about pray. Jonah is praying in chapter 2. And we're going to see some serious prayers. How do you pray when you're in a tight spot, when you're in a situation, when you know you have rebelled against God and you know it's your own fault and you got to pray to get out of this? That's what Jonah's doing. Jonah's repentance started with prayer. Notice what he says. Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Jonah knows that God is good and God is plenteous in mercy and he's ready to forgive. And so he calls on God. And not only do we see Jonah's repentance started with prayer, Jonah's repentance continued with his problem. He's letting God know why he is here. And by the way, God knows why he is there. Who does Jonah want to reveal why he's there to? Jonah. It's my own fault. Let me help you out. When you rebel against God, be honest with God. God, I'm here because of rebellion. I'm here because I didn't want to do what you told me to do. God, I am here because I failed to do what the Word of God said I ought to do. God, I am here because of my own fault. And I've got the nerve to come to you and ask you because I know you're merciful. And I know you love me. And yes, it was a boneheaded decision to rebel. It was not smart. I should never have gone there. I should never have said that. I should have never accepted that. I should have never have went with that person. I should have never entered into that door. I should have never opened my mouth and said that. I should have never. It's my own fault. Folks, in our prayer, we've got to come to recognize it's our own fault. Oftentimes. By the way, it's not God's fault. Well, it's the people's fault. When's the last time somebody forced you to sin? Nobody. We do it of our own free will. Power of one. So Jonah's repentance continued with his problem. When times get tough is when we see our problems. When times get tough is when we pray the most. And he says, I cried by reason of my afflictions down here. Notice what he says here. I cried by reason of my affliction. God, I feel this affliction. He said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. He said, it's like I'm in hell. Remember the rich man? Amen. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Help me. Because I'm tormented in this flame. He said, you had the prophets. He said, but no, send Lazarus that he can dip his finger in water and touch my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. Jonah says it feels like hell. Now, folks, I know how a hot stove feels. I know how a hot car feels in Arizona. You got the temperature gauges in the cars. Now you get in there and it says 20, 0, 20. You know it's not 20 below. I know how heat feels. But I have no clue how hell feels. And let me help you out some. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'll take God's word for it. You don't have to swing me over it. You don't have to put me down there. You don't have to get me close to it at all. I'll take God's word for it. But Jonah said, I feel like I'm in hell. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Wow. Jonah said, you know what? I'm close to dead. I wanted to commit suicide, but I didn't want this. I didn't want this. He said, I cry by reason of mine affliction. By the way, notice some of the references Jonah uses as he prays from the Psalms. Verse 3 is equivalent to Psalm 42:7, where Psalm 42:7 says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Verse 4 is equivalent to Psalm 31:22, for he says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Verse 5 is equivalent to Psalm 69:1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. Verse 9 is equivalent to Psalm 38 and verse 8. Psalm 3 and verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. So, one thing that he has is a very, very good grip of the Psalms. By the way, one of the best things you can pray to Almighty God when you get down is Psalms. They depict every range of emotion that you could think of that man could have. From the highest of the highs to the lowest of the lows. To the best of friends, to having no friends.
to being trusted by everyone, to being betrayed by everyone. It has the highest and the lows and the psalms. And Jonah knows his psalms, and he's beginning to pray his psalms back to God. By the way, if you want the attention of God, you want the attention of Almighty God, pray his word back to him. Because he says, I'll honor and I'll bless my word. Amen. He'll bless and honor his word. Hey, you go to him and you say, God, you said that you'd do this for me. And you quote the psalm. Lord, you said you'd do this for me. And you quote the psalm. Lord, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I need your help. Lord, you said there had no temptation taking you but such as is coming to man. But God is faithful. Lord, you said that. Lord, I need your help. And according to your word. Lord, you said you're the way. You said you're the truth. You said you're the life. You said no man cometh unto the Father but by you. Lord, turn their heart. Turn their hearts to you because there is no other way. You pray God's word. God will honor his word. Jonah is praying the word of God back to God. The power of one to repent. It started with prayer. It continued with his problem, reciting his problem back to God. Verse 3 says this, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. Now, wait a minute, Jonah. I thought you had the men cast you in the deep. Now, didn't Jonah say, take me up and cast me in the deep? Now, he said God did it. See how we do sometimes to God? Well, God, you told me to do this. You told me to make this decision. You led me this way. God says, I did what? I said no such thing. Thou dreamest. My word saith not that I said that. Jonah said, you did this, Lord. No, last time I checked, Jonah, you tried to commit suicide. You said, pick me up and throw me in the water. Last time I checked, Jonah, you said, if you just get rid of me, your problems are over. But your problems just started, Jonah. Amen. He said, thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Oh, God, you don't know the trouble I've seen. And God probably said, you ain't seen nothing yet, son. Wait till you look in the mirror when you come out. Then you're going to see something worth seeing. Continue with his problems. But then Jonah's repentance included his probing. Notice verse number 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again. Now, wait a minute. I said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Last time I checked, Jonah, you ran and went the opposite way. Am I right? Yes, sir. Didn't Jonah flee from the presence of the Lord? Yes. Is that not what it says? So, Jonah, you fled from the presence of the Lord, but now you say you're cast out of God's sight. See how we like to blame everything on God? God, it's your fault. If you'd have just made me do it, if you'd have just made me do that thing and made me talk to that person, made me love that wife and made me love that husband, made me love those children, made me love my parents, made those people be nice to me, if you just made these people, why we got to blame it on God? God says, look, you have the mastery over you and you submit to my will and you'll be fine. But you tried to run from my presence, and now I cast you out of my sight? No, I'm actually have you pretty well in view. I have you pretty well in view. I see you right here. And by the way, I'm going to guide this ship that you're in right now. And so Jonah's repentance included his probing. When times get tough is when we probe for answers. Where did I go wrong? When did things go wrong? How did things go wrong? Jonah said, I will look again. Notice what he says. Then said I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He said, I'm going to take another peek. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to look where God is. I'm going to look where the temple is at. And by the way, he's in the belly of the whale. How can he see and sense direction? I think he said, by faith, God, you know I'm looking for you. By faith, I don't know where I'm at. I'm disoriented in this belly of this well. I'm up and down and all around. I'm disoriented, but I'm looking. And I think with his heart, he began to look. With his heart, God, I need you. I need your help. One of the things that God loves is a humble heart, a contrite heart, a willing heart. And so Jonah, his repentance includes his probing. He says, I'm going to look again. I'm going to go back to this thing. I remember that request. You said something about going to Nineveh. Is that what you want me to do? And cry against that? Is that what it is? Let me take another peek at that. That Nineveh place looking pretty good right about now. Let me take another look at that. What'd you say, God? You said, arise and go to Nineveh. And I rose and fled to Tarshish. And I got on that boat, and they tossed me overboard. Man, it seems like I'm a million miles away from you, and I'm out of your sight. I've been cast out. But let me, can we run this back just a little bit? and let me have another look at what you told me to do. You know, that's what we should do. God, what would you tell me to do? Let me go back to what you told me to do and start doing that. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So Jonah's repentance started with prayer in verse 1. It continued with his problem in verse 2 and 3. His repentance included his probing in verse 4. He said, I'll look again. But then it climaxed with his pressure in verses 5 and 6. And when times get tough is when we begin to feel the pressure. When there's no place else to go. When there's nothing else to do. And there's no more answers. And we think we're at the end of our rope. And we're about to give up. And we feel like we're going to perish. When we feel like this problem is going to blow up and explode in my face. I get to that point where the pressure just gets too great and I can't take any more and he climaxes to this pressure. And notice what he says about this pressure. Verse number 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. He said, the waters all about me. It's to my soul. He said, the depth closed me round about. I'm so deep. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I can't see anything, but I can feel these weeds. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He said, I can't go any further. The earth with her bars was about me. He says, I feel like I'm in prison. Shut up. Forever. That's pretty bad when you feel like the bars are about you forever. Now, the Bible says only 3 days and three nights. But Jonah said, it felt like forever. You know, when you're alienated from God, it feels like forever. When you're not right with God, it seems like forever. When God has told you to do something, you don't do it, it seems like forever. You're in this quagmire or this miry clay. It seems like you're running in slow motion in a dream and you can't get away. And you're thinking, well, I've got to get away. Where's God? And it seems like it's never going to end. I'm just running, but I'm not getting anywhere. Jonah said, that's how I feel. It's terrible. When you're not right with God, it's terrible. It's a terrible feeling. Jonah said, it climaxed with my pressure. He said, I'm down. I'm compassed about to the soul. The depths have closed me. The weeds are wrapped about around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, verse 6, with the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. He says, God, you're able. God, you're able. So Jonah is going down. But he remembers that it's God's mercy. Notice Jonah's repentance ended with his perception. When times get tough is when we begin to perceive that God is at work. He says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Does it really have to come to that? That we're ready to faint? We're ready to die? We're ready to quit? We're ready to give up before we turn to the Lord? But that's what surrender is all about. I remember the Lord. He remembered how good it was when he got the command. He remembered how good it was to be in fellowship with God. He remembered running from God. He remembered how I'm a rebel and I'm running from God. My reasoning I thought was right and I ruined the ship and I tried to commit suicide. But I remember your mercy. I remember your goodness. I remember. I'm ready to pass. I'm ready to faint. But I remember you're a good God. I remember. When my soul fainted, though, within me, possibly Jonah was ready to pass out because of the gastric acids in the belly, because of the constant pressing, maybe because of the disorientation, maybe of claustrophobic reasons, he's ready to pass out. He says, my soul is ready to faint. What am I talking about? Jonah's repentance ended with perception. He remembered when times get tough is when we begin perceiving that God is at work. But my soul fainted, he said, within me, I remember the Lord. Does it really have to come to this before we're revived? At our lowest, in the belly, in the darkness, all alone, forsaken and forgotten, it seems, from rebelling and running and reasoning and ruining and resting on our own will. Has it to come to that? I like what David said, though, in Psalm 27. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I'd have fainted if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm so glad I know that God's a good God. Hey, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I know that God's a good God. And when I'm at my worst, when I'm at my rebelliousness, God still loves me. Hallelujah and praise God. God still is going to come after me. Hallelujah and praise God. God's still going to preserve me. God's still going to look after me. God's still going to take care of me. God's still going to look after me. I think about mothers. I mean, children can be just as rotten as the devil at times. And man, mommies will always take them back up and love them up. And daddies will sit back and say, you'll get no sympathy from me. You ain't getting nothing from me. Mom's like, come here. I love you. Are you okay? Well, he ought not be all right. Doing what he did, doing what she did. Better be glad I didn't get to you. I did worse. But mommies are like, Oh, is it okay? Is it okay? I'm so glad God's like that. God says, I love you. I'm going to take care of you. And yes, you did rebel against me. You did run from me. And you think about the difference between guys and ladies. You call a little child and they start running out of rebellion and they trip and fall. The first thing, are you okay? What did dad say? Good for you. Good for you. You had no business running in the first place when I come. Well, next time when I call you, you come this way. Don't go that way. You should have bumped your head or something. You better be glad something else didn't happen to you. But mom's like, Johnny, are you okay? Oh, then they discipline them later, amen. But the men discipline them first. God's like that. God says, I love you, and I want you back. I'm going to preserve you. And you tried to run. You tried to rebel. You had some reasoning. It was faulty, wasn't it? Hey, you just messed up, didn't you? Boy, look, come back over here. Come here. Come here. We'd be like, don't come over here. Smelly fish breath. You better go get clean. No. God says, come here. Come here. Why? He's repentant. He said, I remembered when my soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thy holy temple. Jonah's repentance ended with perception. He perceived that he had neglected prayer. He said, my prayer came in unto thee. He said, I neglected prayer. I remember the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee. Lord, I should have prayed. When you first told me to go to Nineveh, I should have prayed and said, what should I do? Should I go to Nineveh or should I not go? It'd be foolish not to go. I should have prayed. He remembered that he neglected prayer. Hey, next time God asks you to do something, oftentimes you don't need to pray about it. Just do it. Now, if you don't understand it, that's one thing. Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. Could you reveal this to me? That's one thing. But oftentimes, just do it. Jonah neglected prayer. He said, I remember the Lord. My prayer came unto God. God, help me. Get me out of this. He neglected God's plan. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. He said, I have my own reasoning. I have my own theology. I have my own reasons for doing things. You're going to try to save them, and I think not to save them, and so I'm going to run away. And so it was vain for me to do this. And he said, I forsook my own mercy. If I'd have done what was right, man, I could have had it going on. But look, Lord, you saved me, so who am I? He said, I'm forsaking my own mercy. That's how I got saved. You reached down, you talked to me. So I'm forsaking my own mercy because that's what happened to me. By the way, that's what happened to you. That's what happened to me. So who are we to forsake the same mercies that someone else deserves? He said, I observed lying vanities. I was so vain in my thought process. I thought they were wicked, so they don't deserve to be saved. But that was vain thinking. That was my own reasoning. How many times has God told us to do something? I wouldn't do that, but God did the same thing for you. Amen. He neglected prayer. He neglected God's plan. He observed lying vanities. But then he neglected praise. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation of the Lord. He said, I'm going to sacrifice unto thee thanksgiving. I'm going to give God his praise, his due just reward for what he's done in my life. Lord, here you go. Here's my praise. I'm going to give you this thanksgiving, this sacrifice. I'm going to pay that which I vowed. Notice he says, I will sacrifice. I will pay. No more am I running. No more am I taking. I'm giving. I'm giving praise to God. I'm giving my vows to the Lord. I'll go. And at the end of Jonah's repentance, and after he rebels, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground, the dry land. But did it have to come to that? It really shouldn't have had to come to that. But let me tell you something. If it does, aren't you glad you have a God that loves you? Aren't you have a God that, you're glad you got a God that forgives you? Aren't you glad you got a God that will preserve you even in the whale's belly and will take you to the destination that you need to be at and spit you out and give you another chance? Aren't you glad we serve a God of second chances? Jonah gets a second chance. The power of one. He had the power to rebel. He had the power to repent, though, and get right with God. And as a result, God's going to use him in a marvelous way. Hey, Christian, all it takes for us to be wrong with God is just to think wrong, do wrong, speak wrong, be wrong, and we need revival. And we've got to do exactly what Jonah did. Go back to God and pray and say, Lord, I'm crying unto you by reason of my affliction. It's tough. We may not be in the belly of a whale, but we might be in a bad situation. And we've got to ask, how did I get here? When did I get here? Why did I get here? And most importantly, how do I get out of here? And God has the answers. God has the answers. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you can't be revived. You've got to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, friend, you don't need revival. You need to be born again. Say, preacher, how can I be born again? You need to believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for you, and he died as you. He was buried for you, and he was buried as you. And he rose again to secure you. All you have to do is repent of your sins, just like Jonah's doing here. Confess your own foolishness, your own sin. Turn your back on your sin. Turn to God. Say, God, I'm turning to you to fill me and to save me from that place called hell. I know I've sinned. I need to be saved. And friend, you can be gloriously saved today. Christian, for you, you may need to be revived. Say, preacher, how do I know? Have you rebelled against God's command? Then you need to be revived. It's tragic, but we say no to God more than we say to any other person. And it's tragic. But I'm so glad we have a God, second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. You know, maybe today you're rebelling against the will of God and you know God wants to save you. You've been baptized. You've spoken in tongues. You've joined churches. You've done good deeds. You've done a lot of things. But friend, let me encourage you. God never asks you to do those things for salvation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ loves you today, friend. He wants to save you. Father, bless now this invitation for sinner and saint alike. Reveal yourself to each one of us personally and show us what we need to do with repentance and our rebellion in front of a holy God. Thank you for loving us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest before God today and say, preacher, if I died this moment, I know I am born again according to the word of God. And because of my being born again, I know I'm on my way to heaven. And you'd raise your hand just a testimony to the goodness of God. You say, I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven because I've been born again. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would be honest before God and you say, preacher, I've never been born again. If I died right now, there's a chance that I may not make heaven. I may be in danger of going to hell. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, you're concerned about it. You say, preacher, pray for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You'd raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven if I die right this moment. You know, I'm working on it. I hope to go, but I'm not convinced. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You raise the hand up, and you can put it right back down. I'll acknowledge it. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Not sure I'm born again. Father, you see the hands that have been raised and the testimonies in front of you. And God, there is nothing hid before your eyes that you cannot see. You see the heart of everyone that's here, so you know who truly is born again and who is not. Lord, I pray that if there is one that is not born again, you would trouble their heart like you did with Jonah until they repent and turn to you for salvation, because salvation is truly of the Lord. For Christians, God, help us not to rebel, but to obey you, come back to you by way of repentance, getting revived again for our rebellion. And Lord, each time we do it, may we come back once again to get renewed and refreshed by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to do your will. Thank you for loving us now. Bless in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed. As the music begins to play, maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you are struggling with doing. God has told you to do it. You're fighting with it. Maybe you need to come for some guidance from the Word of God. Or maybe God's dealing with you about being born again. If you died right now, you're not sure. Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? How you can be born again? Maybe you find yourself in a situation. Maybe you need to pray like Jonah did. I cried by reason of mine affliction. Oh Lord, help me. I've observed blind vanities. I've forsaken my own mercy. Lord, I'm going to sacrifice unto you. The voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay my vow. Salvation truly is of you, Lord. Maybe your soul is about to faint like Jonah. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. One thing is true. If we're truly revived, it'll show in our obedience to God. It'll show in our desire to want to be right with God. It'll show in what we do for God. Jonah had the right idea. I pray. I pray. It starts with prayer. It continues with giving God our problem. Just probing, looking again to what God would have us to do. Climax is oftentimes when the pressure is too great. And then we perceive that we've got to remember the Lord. Look to the Lord. Get things right with God. Where are you at today? Are you enclosed? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I don't know where the individuals of the Shining Light Baptist Church are today, but Lord, you know where they're at. Lord, I am convinced that some are not where they think they are at. I'm convinced that some are in the belly of the well and they just don't realize it. Others are in rebellion right now, I believe. But still others are right with you, Lord, and are going in the right direction. Lord, I pray that your Spirit might reveal to each one where they're at. And Lord, for those that are not born again, God, reveal it to them as well, that they must be born again. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey when it comes to you being the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by you. God, help our nation today as we're in remembrance of the many men and women that lost their lives on September 11th in 2001. Lord, as we're reminded of the grief that is still going on and the bereavement that is still going on, Lord, we pray that you might minister to the hearts and the minds of the men, women, boys, and girls that have lost loved ones in that horrific day's events. But God, may we look to you by way of getting that comfort, by way of getting the guidance, by way of even praying for our nation and its people and the Christians. And Lord, may we be the Christians that you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. May we truly be revived in our hearts by repenting towards God if we're rebelling and truly stay right moment by moment. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us today. And thank you for being a God of second chances. Dismiss us, Lord, with thy blessing. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Pastor White.